I will call to order the City of Tacoma Planning Commission meeting for Wednesday, July 6th. Do we have a quorum?
Yes, we do. And Mr. Chair, congratulations to you and Commissioner Alan Peterson. You were reappointed by the City Council to your respective positions on June 28th for another 3 years. And we have Doris Sorum, City Clerk, here to swear you in. So Doris, please proceed.
Let's just do them separately. So Stephen, if you'll stand up.
Yes.
And you're going to raise your right hand and you're going to repeat after me. I and state your name.
I, Steve Wambach.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Washington.
And the Constitution of the State of Washington.
That I will comply with the City Charter.
That I will comply with the City Charter.
And all ordinances of the city.
And all ordinances of the city.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
Discharge the duties of.
Discharge the duties of.
The office of.
The office of.
Planning Commission member.
Planning Commission member.
According to law.
According to law.
And to the best of my ability.
And to the best of my ability.
Congratulations.
Gathering applause. When it says ordinances, does that include speed limits?
So Anna has it all memorized now.
So you're going to raise your right hand and you're going to repeat after me. I and state your name.
I, Anna Peterson.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Washington.
And the Constitution of the State of Washington.
That I will comply with the City Charter.
That I will comply with the City Charter.
And all ordinances of the city.
And all ordinances of the city.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
Discharge the duties of.
Discharge the duties of.
The office of.
The office of.
Planning Commission member.
Planning Commission member.
According to law.
According to law.
And to the best of my ability.
And to the best of my ability.
Congratulations. All righty. I'll get these to you. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So moving on to item B on the agenda, the approval of the agenda and minutes from June 15th. Let's first take the agenda for tonight's meeting. We have two discussion items on the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Someone.
It has been moved.
Second.
And seconded that we approve the agenda from tonight's meeting. Is there any discussion? Seeing no need or no interest in discussion, all those in favor of approving the agenda, say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. Okay, the agenda is approved. Turning to the minutes from our June 15th meeting, staff distributed the minutes as part of our packet. I will take a motion and then open up the floor for comments and corrections.
I move we accept the minutes as written.
I'll second that.
It has been moved and seconded to accept and approve the minutes as written. Is there any discussion, comments, amendments to the minutes? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor of approving the minutes from the Wednesday, June 15th meeting, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the minutes are approved. Item C on the agenda is our opportunity for public comments, and we do have one person signed up for public comments. I will, as I call Mr. McClintock to the table to comment, I will remind the commenter and the Planning Commission that this is an opportunity to speak to items on the agenda, except for the public hearing item, item two on our agenda, since we already had a public hearing on that and we closed comments. So other than that, thank you for joining us tonight.
My comment was on TDR, so hopefully that's acceptable.
That is acceptable. Okay. Thank you.
Well, Historic Tacoma, I'm speaking on behalf of Historic Tacoma here, and we just want to say that we're very happy to see that TDRs are on the agenda again and are being discussed. And we wanted specifically to raise to the commission's attention that TDRs can be used, or we believe should be used, for historic preservation as well as for preserving rural areas and so forth. And we wanted to come this evening in particular because we have a building very close by, the Hosmer House at 309 South 9th, right across the street from the Rialto, that we are putting forward for the landmark nomination before the Landmarks Commission. And this is a good example of a historic building that is in the downtown core that has a huge amount of development rights above it. And we feel that property owners of such buildings, both in the downtown core as well as in the mixed-use centers now, should have the ability to monetize or otherwise make use of those development rights above those buildings. And this would serve as an additional incentive for the preservation of certain landmarks. The Hosmer House, of course, as you may or may not know, built in 1875, the second oldest building built in Tacoma, the only building remaining from the first decade of the founding of New Tacoma. So it hits pretty much every criteria for a landmark. But of course, it's sitting in an area that is designated for very dense and very high development. And so we can imagine that there may be other such buildings throughout the city in our mixed-use centers as well as in the downtown core that could benefit from transfer development rights. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we had nobody else signed up for public comment. So with that, I will move on to item D1, transfer development rights. Mr. Muntz is here to chat with us tonight.
Chairman, members of the commission, thank you. This is sort of a challenge because I think different people have different awareness of transfer of development rights, and so I apologize if it's a little too simplistic. But just wanted to get the concept out there. This first slide really shows, okay, let me start something with a different position. We're all involved in zoning, and we look at zoning as providing some protections. For the environmental community, zoning has been a transitory tool that very often doesn't provide permanent protection. And so the whole notion around the country, not just in the Pacific Northwest, has been how do we permanently preserve rural, very often agriculture, forestry lands without taking anyone's property rights away. So the idea is that as a market level transaction, the property owner is paid for however many homes they can put on their property currently, and the property ends up being typically continues to be farmed. There's no right to put any houses on there, so it permanently gets protected. Forterra, the Regional Environmental Protection Group, has really identified critical ag and forest lands as their focus in Pierce, King, and Snohomish County that are on the fringes of the rural area that they'd like to see protected. And so there's a very active TDR market in King County. This commission, and this is a plug for those who stick around for a few years, may take a few years, but this is, we do have an example coming up of our first TDR transaction in Tacoma. It's been 8 years in the coming with different iterations, and I can return to the historic preservation issue towards the end of my short presentation. Basically, the goal is to long-term preservation, and then the notion is, I don't like this slide because it shows suburban development, but if we go to the next one, you get the idea. So basically, people are compensated for losing development rights on their ag or forest land. Those rights are transferred into the city. Typically, the mixed-use centers are downtown. In our current code, there are two ways to get use development rights. One is in the mixed-use centers, including Stadium and MLK, where the height bonus can only be achieved, the maximum height can only be achieved with transfer of development rights. And we have an example of that in your package. The other way that hasn't kicked in yet, but we're seeing more and more questions about, is floor area ratio. So the denser denser the activity on the property, the more need, the more the need will be to, for TDRs. And so our first project came in. We have actually three more sort of in discussion stages, but the first one came in recently, Stadium Apartments, up next to the grocery store up there. I think it's 140, 160 units. And they are buying four TDRs from Pierce County for approximately $40,000. And they're adding 20 units in height in their structure. So it is an extra cost to the, you know, this is a baby step, seeing how the, what the market will bear, but this is a baby step. But I want to remind the commission, if I can, that when you did the downtown planning, one of the things you did was waive CEPA review for new projects. And so that they put that on one side of the equation. No special traffic study on that side of the equation. And then on the other side is the need for TDRs, which is, would typically, even though it's an incentive program, is a requirement. The Carino brothers, who most recently did the Henry, are the ones behind the project, and they're all in. There's much, I'm pronouncing it right, Chair, the Reese Farm, is that how it's pronounced?
I'm not sure.
It's pronounced differently than the spelling, but the Pierce County, and this will sort of hit on the historic preservation request. Pierce County secured some internal and external funding and actually bought the development rights to the Reese Farm, I'm going to call it.
Oh, yeah.
And 20 of those acres are being one development right in the code that you helped write. One development right is 5 acres. So 4 development rights, 20 acres, will be preserved as a first step. Separately, Brian Boudet has worked out a mechanism to use some city open space funds to actually buy 11 more development rights. So that's another, if I do the math, that's another 55 acres of that farm. That the first transaction has actually taken us 6 months to organize with paperwork between two organizations. And so the city's actually setting up a small bank, so when we have people coming in for one or two rights, they can purchase them directly from us. So that will, and the county's been totally supportive of that effort and gave us a little price break. Sorry, Steve.
Not by a department.
I know. It's taken a while. There's a very active market in Pierce County, in King County. We hope to replicate some of that as redevelopment and revitalization occurs in Tacoma. So I sort of explained the, you know, long-term protection. Primary focus of a number of agencies is protecting ag and forest lands. The city code, the city provisions that this commission developed do provide for in-city open space to be, but the devil's in the details. We need to figure out a way to structure this. Historic preservation is also, thanks to Historic Tacoma, an eligible sending area. So basically, the previous slide really identified, you have sending area and a receiving area. And our interest is really what happens in the receiving area. But sending areas can be all, that can be broadly defined. And so we have a placeholder for historic preservation. We actually have a little more detail on in-city open space. But what we'll need with historic buildings is to work with the commission, obviously Historic Tacoma, property owners, on how we do the formula calculation. I mean, see, right now it's a very, we've done the calculation as to how to convert from, we did a value analysis, and so we've done a calculation of how much the extra square footage is worth to the buyer and how much it's worth to the seller. So we don't have that formula for historic properties, and so we need to think about that. And then the other group that's been interested in being involved in this has been the affordable housing community. So we have a very small market at the moment. And so I'm just here this evening to tell you that we have our first project. And as we get more density, particularly in downtown, we expect we can have have a lot more, and then we can have some discussions as to allocations between different eligible activity, different sending areas. I'd be most happy to answer any questions. There is a little information on a little groundbreaking or celebration we're having Monday. So I don't know if you've seen those already.
We received those in the mail.
Okay,
directly.
Okay. So yeah. Yeah, Deputy Mayor is going to be Master of Ceremonies, County Executive's coming over, Jean Duveroy from Forterra is coming, Farmland Trust, and then the developers, the Four Elements Farm folks, and then the Stadium Apartments representative. So just want to get a little attention to, and thank you to you all for hanging in there for all this time. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I have some general questions, yeah. Just to help me understand.
Yeah, no,
a little
I,
bit
I,
better.
Yeah, I
So in the case of the receiving area, what exactly is going to be allowed? If the receiving area is already, if you will, at its kind of zoning maximum,
okay.
are we exceeding that, or how is that working exactly?
I will get my number. I was hoping Brian Boudet was going to be here to help me with that question. But I can give you the approximate answer is in some mixed-use centers, you can only go to 45 feet. With some design features, you can go to 65 feet if you use TDRs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
And so there's a bonus feature in each of the mixed-use centers,
okay.
And they vary by center. But there's a top tier that you need to use TDRs to get the extra height. So that was explicitly done, starting 10 years ago when the mixed-use centers was developed with this bonus notion. There's a base height. If you do structured parking, for instance, you can get some extra height. But to get the maximum height, it's my understanding you have to use TDRs for the last portion.
Okay.
And Stadium Apartments is going to use the maximum. I think they're going up to 85 feet is my recollection.
Okay.
And so they're going from 65 to 85.
Okay. So is that can you continue to add? So if they have structured parking, is there just a cap at that
there's
point?
They vary by mixed-use centers, but there's different. But you can only get to the level two, the higher areas, with TDRs, and only in a few of the centers. And so we have a lot more experts on staff who understand that. But basically, you get a bonus, but we wanted to target TDRs as being important enough to say you can't get to the maximum height without that.
Okay.
And then in downtown, where I think we'll get a lot more TDR activity, it's a floor area ratio. And so in some cases, you can't go, you can only do a floor area ratio of 4 times your base footage, but if you use TDR, you can get to 6 or 8.
Okay.
So
okay.
That's
makes sense.
When we start to get major five over twos barely trigger, but the new hotels proposed for the convention center will trigger that, and and there are some more projects being considered.
Okay. Just one more question. Then I guess the last question is. Go ahead, Brett. Actually, I'm having a senior moment here. I'll come back to you.
Okay, well, sure.
So in this past year, we've also discussed affordable housing and increasing the allowable zoning or number of units downtown. And I'm curious how the TDR discussion downtown dovetails with that discussion, or if they're kind of separate tracks or paths for greater density.
The challenge is to just to do the calculation as to how you would. Where height bonus is being used, you're basically paying $2,000 for an extra unit. I mean, it's very, very low, and we've been criticized that it's too low. Affordable housing folks would have told us in different work sessions they'd like it to be charged to be much higher, so can actually make a dent in affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
We are just getting our toes in the water with this, but we don't have a mechanism to do the calculation as to with what would would you preserve have to have an affordable house for 50 years? We need to write whole code sections to define that in the same. I believe with historic preservation, how do we do the calculation, and then how do we once we have that interest level, how do we balance the competing interests of, so that one party isn't able to undercut the others on price? Some jurisdictions actually have an allocation, 25% for this activity, 25% for that. Mm-hmm. And up in Seattle, they've had serious discussions about whether there shouldn't be more focus on inside Seattle concerns than this big discussion inside your own jurisdiction or regionally. Mm-hmm. So I'm just pleased to get the support that we're getting at this first step so we can get the market started. And then I think there'll be discussions over the years as to how to tweak it. But we're really almost getting ahead of ourselves. It's called Mrs. Celebration. We're excited, but it's a very small step.
Pre-function.
You have a follow-up?
Yeah, I was also wondering, you know, what is kind of the time frame for developing the palette for historic preservation, or that menu of options, so that we have that in place for when the right project comes around?
That would be a question for Mr. Boudet as far as staff resources being allocated to that. We'd need some value. I mean, we put a lot of work into the ag forestry piece as far as doing the calculations, and so we'd need some expertise on financial expertise to do some of those calculations. And then the second piece is how does it get integrated with the ag forest piece?
So I know that Scott has a question, but if we could make a note, because I think at our next meeting we're going to do our recap of 2015-2016 for our annual report, and so we'll probably start thinking about our 16-17 work plan. We should at least introduce this topic and have Brian give us some feedback as to whether this is something that can go on to our next work plan. We have a very lengthy work plan. Passage of the One Tacoma Plan, but I think we'd be remiss if we don't at least put this into the queue and figure out when we can do it.
Well, you might have answered my question. It has to do more with the formula for translating, for example, in the context of historical preservation, translating whatever's being preserved into development rights. Is that more art than science at this point, or are there precedents in other locales that can be used?
San Francisco has a very active TDR program. So, I mean, around the country there are very active initiatives for historic preservation TDRs. So we wouldn't be starting from scratch. The trickier part is going to be the valuation.
Relative, especially to other types of transfers. Yeah.
But we need some thought to go into the initial analysis before we can get to those calculations. And I'm optimistic we're going to do enough transactions in the next 2 or 3 years to be able to have a real good baseline to look at.
Did you remember what your other question was?
No, thankfully Brett went first because he got to my question.
Okay.
And I'm recovering, so.
Anna?
I have no questions.
I have nothing. Thank you.
Could I use the microphone for one?
Yes, you may.
Comment. He isn't here, but I really wanted to recognize Commissioner Don Erickson's work on one of the other things you have next week. We have the groundbreaking for the Amtrak station, and as Planning Commissioner and representing historic interests, he really stepped forward and chaired an advisory committee for a couple of years and put a lot of personal time into it. And so I just wanted to acknowledge him as a former Planning Commission member who stepped up and really made a real difference. So thank you all.
Thank you, Ian. All right. We're moving on to item D2, Capital Facilities Program.
Okay, I'm Lee Huang Wong, Planning and Development Services Department, and Christina Watts is in the audience and who will jump in as he sees fit and back me up. So what we're going to do today is to facilitate your discussion and review of public comments received from Public Works last time and staff's responses and suggestions. And at the end, we're going to seek your approval of the findings and recommendations report and forward that to the City Council. So, background information, the draft reports are all included in the agenda packet. So what I'm going to do is just run these five or six slides really quick so that we don't have to go line by line on those reports. So at the public hearing on June 15th, where you kept the record open through June 17th, there were three individuals testified at the public hearing, and two of them spoke about, support for various improvements to the Tacoma Dome facility. A third gentleman talked about a variety of issues, including building a new city hall, selling Tacoma Dome and Cheney Stadium, creating parking structure, Pierce Transit's Tacoma Dome garage facility, purchasing Segway for employees, and purchasing truck trailer types of batteries for emergency use. And then by the deadline of record of June 17th, we had received seven pieces of written comments. Those are included in your packet. The two of the people who testified at the public hearing also provided written comments, and a lot more came in, all supporting for Tacoma Dome improvements. There was a piece of comment supporting improvements to the library, and then there was a comment suggesting language cleanup for environmental services projects. And the same gentleman who provided comments on a variety of issues submitted a letter that essentially spelled out what he had testified about. So those are the comments. The responses staff had provided and some suggestions are as follow. The Tacoma Dome improvements, we acknowledge and appreciate those comments. All the comments pointed to the projects, those projects are already included in the current draft capital facilities document. Again, we are acknowledging those comments. We're not making changes to the document. The same goes to the comments about the library improvements. All the about 11 projects that this lady mentioned are already included in the CFP document. We will do the text cleanup as suggested by the service manager from the Environmental Service on the language of some of the environmental services projects. However, we're not going to do the cleanup right away. We are our project manager, Christina, is still working on the document as we go, and those will be incorporated before the City Council reviews the final draft document. Lastly, about this gentleman who had a lot of questions and comments, or good suggestions, I would say, a lot of them are beyond the scope of CFP, and some definitely require policy discussion at the City Council level and or with other agencies, and some are really operating budget kind of consideration, not capital budget consideration. So we are not doing anything about the document in response to those comments. However, we are going to, as you see in the staff responses report, there's a table summarizing all the comments and the staff responses. We are copying that table into your findings and recommendations report as is, so that the City Council, when they read, or citizens, when they read your findings and recommendations report, without going through all the written comments received, they will see what the gist of the comments are and staff responses are. I think that's a kind of a clean way for you, Planning Commission, to forward what you have received onto City Council, because a lot of them really deserve some policy level discussion. It is at the will of the City Council. So with that, we think that the draft findings and recommendations report as drafted and included in your packet lays out about 9 or 10 points of findings of fact, and those basically are describing what the planning mandates and guidelines are that the CFP document is following, and it recognizes the CFP process improvements that you requested back in October of 2014, and you acknowledge that staff has done our due diligence in response to your request. And you, as routine, we also include the public hearing process, the notification, and environmental checklist, all the routine work, including those in the findings of fact. And finally, as I just mentioned, we suggest that you include this table of comments and response into the findings of fact. So from those information, we suggest that you draw on those information and come to these conclusions. And those are about 5 or 6 points listed out in the report, but they really fall into these categories. One, the CFP document is consistent with and implements the city's growth strategy as contained in the comprehensive plan. Specifically, it helps implement mixed-use centers, principles, transit-oriented development, and 20-minute neighborhood. I created that.
It's like chemistry.
And here's the point. We suggest that you call out some projects or fund categories as listed here to illustrate the point. So to illustrate that the CFP implements MUCETOD 20-minute neighborhood, there are a few categories of projects. The category of infrastructure fund, the very project of the Puyallup Avenue improvement, and a collection of signature trails, including these trails, illustrate that the CFP has in it a lot of things that are helping to realize the growth strategy. Now, by calling these projects out, the Planning Commission is not explicitly recommending that the City Council raise the priority of these projects necessarily, but you call those out and illustrating the point, and if the City Council at their will would change the ranking order of these projects, that'll be great. But if the City Council stays with what the current draft CFP shows, it is what you want. So I want to make that point and see if you concur. And similarly, the other a few categories of conclusions that you have drawn have to do with project selection and prioritization criteria. For those criteria, you recognize that how they are responded to and how the responses are reviewed needs to be made more consistently, and you called out a project, Prairie Line Trail, which could have been ranked higher if some of the responses are more complete. So it kind of made a point that administratively, those project criteria are good, but how they are administered can be improved. That's one of the conclusions. Another conclusion about the project criteria is that the criteria could be expanded or improved by adding some consideration about system completeness. By that, I mean missing link. If the city has certain missing link, such as dome to defines trail or prairie line trail that is half complete now, that you give higher priority to those projects before moving on to a new project. So you would suggest that the project criteria, the project managers consider either modifying project criteria or somehow in the responses emphasize that system completeness. The other conclusion or improvement that you see needed is also for project criteria, and that is about project consolidation. This is a point made by Commissioner Santoff at the last meeting, that there are projects that could be bundled together for various reasons. Bicycle and trail projects, Tacoma Dome individual improvement project could be bundled into a bigger project, or something along the line. And this is kind of system completeness, but not necessarily the same. This is not the missing link per se. This is how the city could bundle some projects together and make it more significant So you would, you kind of draw on that, draw to that, came to that conclusion and made that into one of the recommendations.
Sort of final, like, sort of like critical mass, something like that. Where there's enough projects in a certain area that justifies.
You could, yeah, you could make
kicking
that,
it up.
Yeah, you just say it's when you bundle appropriate projects together, they collectively would make a better statement, if you will, make themselves more significant, and maybe better capable of leveraging outside funds. And the last point, conclusion, was a suggestion from Chair Beal that the entire document lacks urban forestry projects. Urban forestry, when we talk about that, we conventionally don't regard it as a capital improvement, but it really is a critical infrastructure improvement and should be made a capital investment, a category in that. And therefore, you have one of those, and that is one of the conclusions, and you would make that recommendation to the council. So my final slide, your recommendations to the city council are to adopt the draft document and then incorporate system completeness principle into the project criteria and improve the application of criteria. This is what I say, how they are responded to, and how the responses are reviewed in a consistent manner, and then add urban forestry as a essential category element of capital investment. So with that, and by the way, Chair Beal, he has a conflict of hearing or something at work he cannot get away from. He indicated to me via email that he has no further comments on the draft materials provided in the agenda packet, and he would be ready to sign the letter subject to the discussion and approval by the commission. And that concludes my short remarks.
Okay. Thank you. So I'll open up the floor to questions and comments from the commissioners.
I have a few kind of questions or things to go through. One is on our cover letter to recommendations, and on that first bullet, and which is about incorporating system completeness. And you know, I think of how certain projects were about maintaining facilities didn't really rank highly in the scoring. And if our system completeness wanted to be about both completing the facility but also maintaining a facility prior to starting a new facility or projects. And, you know, I went further into our findings of fact and looking through the different criteria that were scoring projects, and some of those do reflect maintaining facilities, but this would be another spot where we could emphasize that if we sought to do so.
If I'm understanding the concept of maintaining our previous level of or maintaining investment, making sure that we're not
correct
avoiding filling the potholes or fixing the elevators, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
If we want to view that as part of the system completeness or not. So my recommendation was going to be to add that, but depending on what the rest of the commissioners thought.
Let me ask a question. In that same, under that same umbrella, would that also relate to the concept that you brought up at the last meeting about the bundling, or what the discussion we just had about related projects or bundling of projects? We don't have a specific bullet that addresses that issue either. Would we want to meld that into the same concept? So complete systems, maintaining or ensuring that previous investments are respected and that we're keeping up on the upkeep,
and related projects or nearby projects that tie into each other?
If we wanted to add that, I think we'd add it as a separate bullet.
A separate bullet, okay.
Throughout the document with the various projects, there are projects that were interrelated where the city is going to find some value to making sure that they do a number of those projects at the same time. And I think it'd be good for the document to identify those projects so it's clear what those relationships are.
All right. So we have what I'm hearing is a comment on the expansion of the system completeness bullet to include maintenance issues, and then another bullet to incorporate the previous conversation about related projects being called out. You have the floor.
Okay. So the other comment or question, and I don't think it necessarily needs to get reflected in what we have here, but I'm not clear how the public in the process of putting together this document has a chance to state their desires for future projects. And, we have a list of future projects, which is in the draft that I have was only 4 projects long. We had some public testimony which included projects that could be perceived as future projects, mm-hmm. but where in the process do either we as a commission or the public at large have a chance to point the city in the direction of what projects we'd like to see happen in future cycles? Yeah. And I don't
know how
we do that.
So Christina can help me out. But for example, transportation project managers go through public involvement process on an ongoing basis and collect and get ideas for future potential projects. And they would need to put those into a wish list, if you will, and they draw from the wish list to put in the CFP on an annual or biannual basis. So that's how future ideas are captured. That's one example.
Yeah. So building on that, so again, the transportation section of the capital facilities program is probably one of the largest sections of projects in the CFP. So those projects are driven from the 6-year transportation improvement program, which is a narrowed down list of projects for the transportation master program. So there's significant public outreach and involvement and support with the Transportation Commission for developing project lists for both of those documents. And additionally, this process is the process whereby we would ask the commission and for public input on the project list. So staff working with the planning development and working with the comprehensive plan do an initial first list of projects that we think are anticipated, are important to occur in the next 6 years. And then if we've missed anything or if there's another project that staff haven't considered, that's why we ask the Planning Commission to review that list and provide feedback on it, and also at that time to provide an opportunity for the public to provide feedback. So in addition to providing feedback on projects on that list, it's also then is the opportunity to provide projects for that should be included that are not yet included. And in terms of future projects, again, right now for transportation, there's a transportation master plan. The CFP itself is really meant to be a 6-year planning document, and the comprehensive plan is then the longer-term document. And so that is where if we want to kind of get beyond that 6-year window, we would encourage that part to be as a longer-term growth and strategy project, and we start identifying specific projects. That's more in the 6-year time frame. And so we want that future projects list to be fairly small because we want to make it clear the CFP is 6-year. These are realistic projects that the community can anticipate being prioritized in the next 6 years, as opposed to just being a huge list of projects that everyone wants to occur. We've actually worked to make that list of projects smaller.
So I think that does make sense. I'm not sure that the draft document that we looked at would explain that to someone who was viewing this the first time and kind of understanding how these projects were put together to begin with. So that might be an element that could be expanded upon in the future is, explaining how these projects came to be in the CFP and why certain projects were singled out to be on a future projects list.
Is there a process whereby the growth management plan kind of informs the capital program? You mentioned the longer-term projects as opposed to kind of those within the 6-year window. So the interface between those two is what sort of process kicks those sort of longer-term aspirations into shorter-term achievable projects?
So I'm less familiar with the details of that process. That process is the Transportation Commission does a significant part of that process, but so they then have, similar to the criteria we use for the CFP projects, they have their own criteria and rating system that is quite a bit more intensive than the criteria system we used here that they use to rate projects. And so one of the things that it looks at is like grant, they look a lot of the different considerations that you look at, right? So missing links, grant applicability, like which projects are ready to move forward at this time. So they have the same kind of process that they do to move projects from the 20-year plan to the 6-year plan. And that they actually review annually as well. So it's a little more living, yeah.
And Josh and Jennifer did a presentation on that to the Planning Commission when we met up in the really small, stuffy room upstairs. They presented their criteria for the transportation projects some point last summer, maybe. We had so many meetings last summer, it kind of blurred together between that and billboards. Yeah. So we have received some presentation on that, on the transportation side.
You know, for my part, coming in kind of newly here, and I don't mean to grab the floor, but it's interesting because as we're looking through the CFP, we hear some projects are funded, some aren't. We hear that there's money allocated and some isn't. So, you know, that money's only going to go so far. But it kind of feels you don't really get to dig in and say which projects are going to be done and which ones aren't. You kind of still just, you know, you're touching it at arm's length and still really aren't sure what's going to happen with it. I guess one of the things I'd like to see as a recommendation is in future submittals on the CFP for us to see, is this project funded or is it not? Because if a project's in Tier 2 or Tier 3 and it's not yet funded, it feels to me pretty pie in the sky, as opposed to if it's got funding and it's in Tier 1 or Tier 2, we can come away from the meeting feeling fairly confident that project's actually going to get constructed. And toward that end, I think, Huang, you had a recommendation in your slides, but it doesn't end up in this 4, that we call out some specific projects. Granted, we cannot, you know, move them up the priority list, but I do think that one of your, maybe recommendation 5 should be on here, that we actually call out some projects that we as a Planning Commission, we're not moving them in tiers, that's not in our purview, but we would really like to see them be done. I there were some very good letters from concert promoters talking about how they would bring more concerts to the Tacoma Dome if certain things were done. And I come away from this process not knowing if those projects are funded or they're not funded. And so it's kind of like sending this document out to the wind and hoping this gets done, as opposed to, you know, feeling like, these are projects that are absolutely going to get done, and we can come away knowing that in 2 or 3 years, concerts are going to increase at the Tacoma Dome as opposed to decrease. So I'd like to see that in a recommendation, in your recommendation list.
And so that's one of the things about the process that we've changed, mm-hmm. or that we've worked to change. So actually right now, in terms of the projects that are requesting funding, my response to you is like, no, at this time, like, they are not funded, in part because the city council and the city manager want to get a sense from the Planning Commission about the overall prioritization of projects before they allocate funding, as opposed to coming to you with the project list and saying, here's what we want to fund. What do you think? We tried to get the input before the funding decisions are made, which is why it's then difficult to talk about it. But it's still certainly, if you wanted to highlight specific projects that you would want to prioritize for funding, that would be a kind of recommendation that you could put forward.
Yeah, so I'll dive in with a little bit of the context. What the Planning Commission asked for last year was the ability to weigh in on the application of criteria, mm-hmm. not to be involved in the budgeting at all. Mm-hmm. The budgeting is to occur away from us. Mm-hmm. We ask for a list of projects that are consistent with the comprehensive plan, and to then verify that the project managers who submitted those have applied those against the comprehensive plan. Mm-hmm. But there is, and the list is intended on, by design, to be greater than the available funding. Mm-hmm. That there is that, and so the idea of while in my day job, I do what you're talking about, like, okay, matching up the funding to the available need, or the available funding to the need of the requested need, or maybe it is vice versa, but if that's not what we as a body asked to do at this time, mm-hmm. so I just, I guess
no,
I don't want staff to feel like we're changing gears. Cause
no, that's fine. Yeah. I'm just getting up to speed on it. But it would be nice to, I think, from my own, you know, limited viewpoint, it'd be nice to kind of come have a mechanism whereby we can come back and see, okay, here was the whole list of projects, and here's the 60% or whatever that actually got done. So we know what the leftover, you know, I mean, there's some kind of, you know, some closure on this whole thing.
So how about, could we get, when the city passes the budget, there'll be the capital facilities budget will be passed along with the operating budget.
I will be coming back in December to talk about the final adopted CFP document. So you'll be able at that time see the full document, including the funding information. And at that point, we also want a discussion. Then you've been able to see the final document. So it's not just about the funding. Then you'll be able to see the real book. And at that time, we also would like feedback on the full, complete new book that we'll incorporate in the next cycle.
Okay.
So the picture will become clearer and clearer for the next biennium.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first book we put together after the process has been revised and improved on.
Yeah, okay. So,
but your points are well taken. We could add a bullet point to the letter to say the fact that the Planning Commission feels that these projects can be highlighted. They illustrate the CFP is a document well put together and implement a comprehensive plan and makes you central principle and call those projects out in addition to calling them out in your conclusions segment.
Which projects could you go back to the slide that listed those projects that
right here?
Mm-hmm.
That's in page 5 of 6 in your document, actually last page of your packet. It describes that the commission concludes that the CFP implements comp plan, and for example, these projects illustrate that they implement the principles of mixed centers, TOD, and so on and so mm-hmm. forth. And secondly, the commission concludes that the CFP has project criteria which the review and response could be improved. For example, Prairie Line Trail project could have been ranked higher had the information been more complete. So you call those projects out in those, excuse me, the description of conclusions, and I was thinking that would probably be sufficient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
therefore,
I think
in your letter, it didn't really call out certain projects.
Right.
Yeah.
I would be more comfortable with that as kind of, you know, I think being a little, you know, deferring a bit to some of the testimony that we heard, and I think that calling out the Prairie Line Trail is one that's a lower tier one. You know, had it been more complete, that's just a good example of what we're talking about, mm-hmm. I think. Yeah.
So we are basically, I will go back and revise the letter and the findings and recommendations report to reflect three things up to now. One is to expand on that discussion about system completeness, to say system completeness and system maintenance. And secondly, to add a bullet point in the letter to address the project, the consolidation of interrelated projects where appropriate,
mm-hmm.
the bundling. And thirdly, add another bullet point to call out some of the projects, such as Prairie Line Trail, that implements the comprehensive plan and being in itself a missing link, quote unquote, that could have been ranked higher.
Mm-hmm.
Or a earlier completion. So I would mm-hmm. add those three
yes.
points.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if I may, I really want to go back to Commissioner Winship's comments and question about, is there a process for determining, figuring out capital projects? Christina addressed that a little bit from the transportation perspective, that mechanism that exists. I want to kind of have some discussion about, as a planner, we always talk about planning context. The GMA, the Growth Management Act, requires that local jurisdictions address your future growth and development. And you, first of all, you have a projection of, you know, growth and an estimate of where the growth will occur. And that forms the base of your land use policy and decision accordingly. And land use decision calls for capital improvements to make you there, to make from here to there. And the capital improvements comes a long list of projects, and many of them are unfunded. But local jurisdictions are required to figure out at least a planning horizon, which is usually 20 years, what kind of projects you would need, or categories of improvements you would need to get you from here to there to accommodate future growth and development. And for every 6 years, you've got to have a list of projects that are real. Mm-hmm. Those are not wish lists. And among the 6 years, the first 2 years will be the city council's job, putting dollars, attached dollars to those projects. So that is the overall process for you, how you identify projects. And obviously, when we do our land use assumptions, and we also need to do a lot of public outreach to get the ideas. So I just want to kind of address to that.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I was wondering if there was an analog to that process on the transportation side in kind of other elements of the plan.
Yeah, so the transportation side mirrors that process.
Okay, thanks.
So I guess, Mr. Chair, I would...
It might be helpful if you go to that other slide. Uh-huh. That would be since the vice chair is chairing today, he can't make the motions.
Okay, are you talking about this?
I think the slide with the recommendation. So I my hint is that would be a good guide for what someone's going to make a motion on.
Well, I would move that we forward a letter recommending approval of the 2017-2022 CFP with the recommendations that you've identified on this slide and with the addition of the items that you have highlighted in the conversation.
That's my understanding. All
right. Seconded.
So it's been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion on this item? All right, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Christina. All right, so we are now at communication items.
So there is a history in the making celebration of the first TDR transaction in Tacoma, which is Monday of July 11th. You have got the notice already, and Ian talks about that already. And secondly, there's also a celebration, a groundbreaking ceremony of Amtrak's station at Freight House Square on Wednesday, July the 13th.
Cool.
The City Council is conducting a public hearing on July 19th, which will be in the TBU auditorium, because our council chambers is going through renovation starting last week for about 3 months. Hmm. So you are welcome to come to that public hearing and testify either on behalf of the commission with the concurrence from the commission or as a citizen. It's up to you. That happened before. Individual commissioners went up and testified. And I guess that's that. And your vacant position, urban design and historic preservation. I myself have got a couple of phone calls and an email inquiring about that, which robbery is a good sign, and you are encouraged to encourage your affiliates to consider applying, and the deadline is next Wednesday.
Did you give Marshall an application?
I actually don't think I qualify for this.
So that's all I have.
Is there any other business before the commission tonight? All right, a motion to adjourn?
Second.
No, someone has to make the motion.
I move to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
You're going to really fast
move. It's been moved and seconded. We're adjourned.